بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. Today this is our 27th session, reading from Arabic lessons in Fiqh al-Mustawa Thalith, third level, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic language program. Oh yeah, I need this, right? Sorry to the sisters. Now. Yeah, 27th session. All right, today we're going to be doing the topic of makruhat as-salat, yani those things which are detestable, actions which are disliked in the prayer. So this topic in our textbook, the Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Program, is on page 46 and page 47. And in the email that I sent to the class, as a reminder that we're going to be doing this topic today, I also mentioned that the secondary reference for the makruhat, dislike actions in the salat, we're going to use al-wajiz fi fiqh al-sunnah wal-kitab al-aziz, pages 103 to 106. So we're going to be referring to both of these references today, the main text and the secondary reference. Topic, al-makruhat, makruhat al-salat. I hope that you, and you took a look at it, previewed, especially the secondary reference, Al-Wajiz, because it contained a number of extra points that are not in our main text, and some, you know, good beneficial evidences for those points that we'll try to cover as much of it as possible. Tayyib. So on page 46, on the top of the page, it says, makruhat, makruhatu salati. What do we mean by makruhat? Tayyib. Things that are disliked. Yani from kariha. Yani makruhat is the plural of makruh. And this makruh is an expression, and it's one of the expressions that's used in reference to the legal rulings in Islam. Yani ahkam al-sharia. In the ahkam al-sharia, then things are classified, and according to the evidences, as being that which is wajib or mustahab, or that which is haram or makruh, or in between the mubah. So, as far as the makruh, what do we mean by makruh? We mean that which doesn't reach the level of being haram. Yani we can't bring any proof or evidence that it's absolutely forbidden. However, it is something, the evidences in the Sharia show that it is disliked by Allah. Yani it is something detestable, something hated, something abhorrent, disgusting. Okay? So, when we say it's disliked, that is a mild word. That's a mild word. Rather, it might be better to say that it is disgusting. It is abhorrent. So we can really get the full yani emphasis in the meaning that this is something that Allah dislikes. And even if we can't prove that it's haram, if the evidences show that Allah does not love this matter, Allah dislikes it, Allah hates it, then it's something that we should avoid. Okay, so these are things that, and it's very important in our salat to be aware of how we are praying, and that we avoid these things that are disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if they don't invalidate the prayer, certainly they reduce the value of the prayer. They reduce the reward of the prayer. They reduce the station or status of that deed in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it is corrupted and polluted with things that Allah dislikes. Okay, so on page 46, yani it mentions number one. Number one, rafa'u بصره إلى السماء. رفع بصره إلى السماء. يعني رفع is the masdar from which verb? رفع يرفع رفع يعني raising his sight يعني his or her sight إلى السماء up to the heavens يعني meaning when you're in prayer you shouldn't be looking around you shouldn't be looking here and there but rather your eyesight should be on the mawdi as-sujood. Definitely you shouldn't be looking up into the sky. The proof of this is the hadith, the hadith Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ أَقْوَامٌ يَرْفَعُونَ أَبْصَارَهُمْ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ أَوْ لَتُخْتَفَنَّ أَبْصَارُهُمْ رواه مسلم وأحمد والنسائي ونحوه في البخاري وأبي داود رحمهم الله جميعا. يعني the raising of one's vision to the heavens is from the things that are makruh, detestable. You shouldn't be doing this in the prayer. The proof of it is the hadith of Abu Hurairah. May Allah be pleased with him that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ أَقْوَامٌ يعني the people, they must يعني stop doing this. They must stop doing this. لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ This noon, وَشَدَّ is for emphasis. And the lamb in the beginning is also for emphasis. لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ The people, أَقْوَامٌ They must, a people must stop doing this. What? يَرْفَعُونَ أَبْصَارَهُمْ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ Raising their sight, their vision up to the heavens. Fi as-salati, while they're in prayer. Yani outside of prayer, no harm. But in the prayer, you shouldn't be looking up to the sky. If they don't stop doing this, أو لَتُخْتَفَنَّ أَبْصَارُهُمْ Then their eyesight will be snatched away. This hadith reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, Imam Ahmed in the Musnad, and Nasa'i in the Sunan. And a similar narration, yani nahu, has been recorded by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih and Abu Dawud in the Sunan. There's a note, yani in the Wajiz on page 103, I'm just referring to it, that point number 3 is basically the same point. Yani the prohibition or the dislike nature of raising the sight to the sky. And they mention the same hadith, except the wording that they brought here from Muslim. Yani that's the reference that they gave from Abu Hurairah. لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ أَقْوَامٌ عَنْ رَفَعِهِمْ أَبْصَارَهُمْ عِنْدَ الدُّعَاءِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ Yani that a people, they must desist from رَفْعِهِمْ أَبْصَارَهُمْ from raising their sight عِنْدَ الدُّعَى at the time of supplicating فِي الصَّلَاةِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ Yani in this narration it mentions what? Raising their sight at the time of supplicating in the salat, raising their sight up to the sky, otherwise their sight would be snatched away from them. Yani لَتُخْتَفَنَّ Yani from the verb khatafa, it means al-akhth bisura. Yani to take something quickly, to snatch it away. The sight may be taken away. Naam. Okay, after this, point number 2, the second one, those things that are detestable to do in the salat, al-iltifatu li ghayri hajatin. Al-iltifat meaning?
Around,
huh?
Around.
Yeah, iltifat, looking back and forth, looking around, yani لِغَيْرِ حَاجَةٍ without any need to do so. Yani there's no real need to be looking. A person is just not concentrating in the prayer. So they're looking here and there, looking around, up and down, at the walls, at the floors, at the other people. This is detestable in the salat. The note here says, وَذَلِكَ فِي غَيْرِ صَلَاتِ الْخَوْفِ That is, this is detestable in anything other than the fear prayer, the prayer on the battlefield. If the person is on the battlefield, then it's not detestable for them to be looking around. Rather, they should be taking precautions. They should be taking precautions. Now.
Question with regarding to kids, whether it's children in the house, like pray in the house, and there's children, and they might, be seeing them doing something that may cause harm to them or may break something, and they're close to you.
Yeah, I mean, if a person has children, small children, for example, a woman is at home praying, and she has small children there in the house, and she has them close to her, and she sees them doing something that could be dangerous, she should stop them. No. I mean, that's like mandatory.
Can they like continue to pray, like just hold them, like hold them over?
No harm. No harm in taking hold of the child. But of course, before you enter into prayer, all those things should be secured. Yani, a woman or a man, if a man is at home babysitting, right? Maybe there's nobody to take care of the children. Somebody has to take care of them. He can't bring them to the masjid because they're disruptive. Maybe some children you can come to the masjid and sit down. But if they're going to disrupt the masjid, it's not permissible. Not permissible to bring children to the masjid and disrupt people who came to the masjid to worship. That's haram. Naam. Naam. Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said, if a man doesn't have a wife or a woman or somebody to take care of those children, then he should pray at home. Don't bring them to the masjid. Unless they are, need discipline, and they can pray with the people or sit on the side quietly. Otherwise, it's not permissible to bring them to the masjid to disrupt the masjid. That's not permissible. It's not permissible. In any case, if they're not of the age of discretion, where they know what they're doing, then why are they coming to the masjid anyway? They're coming to play. Even if they're very young, but they have any consciousness of right and wrong, and they will come to the masjid and try to follow instructions and try to pray, even if they're not required to pray, it's permissible to bring them. But if they're going to disrupt the masjid, no. If they didn't reach the age where they're required to pray, and they're going to only come and play and disrupt everybody who came to worship, it's not permissible to bring them. So, if a woman is at home, or a man is at home, because he's forced to be at home because nobody to take care of the children, then in that case, should secure the children. Secure them. Don't let them run around crazy and you don't know what they're doing. And maybe they kill themselves or hurt somebody or do anything, start a fire in the house. Secure them. You have to secure them. And there are plenty of ways to secure them. But the other part of it is that small, very, very small children can easily be secured. Bigger children have to be trained. They have to be taught. They have to be trained. Yeah. So that's the responsibility of the mother. And there's no harm. Rather, it is a virtue if the father helps. May Allah reward him. Looking around without need, in other than the fear prayer. لِحَدِيثِ عَيْشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا سَأَلْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنَ الْإِلْتِفَاتِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فَقَالَ هُوَ اخْتِلَاسٌ يَخْتَلِسُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنْ صَلَاةِ الْعَبْدِ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِيُّ وَالتِّرْمِذِيُّ. يعني, this ruling is based upon the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Why is it makruh? Because she said, I asked the Prophet, سَأَلْتُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ about looking around, al-iltifat, looking here and there while in the prayer. And he said, هُوَ اِخْتِلَاسٌ. It is a type of, اِخْتِلَاس means to steal something. It also has the meaning in the business world of embezzlement. The meaning here is to steal. It is اِخْتِلَاس, stealing. يَخْتَلِسُهُ الشَّيْطَان. What shaitan does, he steals min salat al-abd, from the prayer of the worshipper. Report by al-Bukhari and al-Tirmidhi. Number 3. Yani, so this requires what? That a person, when we're praying, number one, before you pray, you should, the preliminaries before prayer. Yani, ablution, supplications, sunnah prayers. Yani, to get you in the right state of mind for this performance of this prayer. Before a person prays, their intention should be that they are getting ready to form active worship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should remind themselves that they are standing in front of Rabbul Alameen. They should say Allahu Akbar, consciously being aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Yani is greater and more important than whatever it is that they're leaving behind when they enter into this prayer. They should place their eyesight in the place of prostration, reflect upon everything that they are saying and doing in the prayer, and try to concentrate so that shaitan is not able to distract them with what is around us in the physical environment or the movement or activities of the people. Point number three. An-nadharu ila ma yulhihi an as-salati. An-nadhar, looking to that which yulhihi, which will distract him from the salat. Looking at that which will distract you from the salat. Yani, if you know that something will distract you from the salat, then either get rid of it, or at least be careful and conscious of not looking at it. Curtain. With some images in it, some kind of image. And he told her to remove it. It was distracting him in the prayer. It could be something in your clothing or in somebody else's clothing. Some people are wearing clothing. They have pictures, images, writings, slogans. That stuff is distraction. That is distraction. Yeah, some of the prayer rugs actually have images of different kinds of animals and beasts and things like this. And those prayer rugs, yeah. And those things are designed intentionally with those images on them for the Muslims. They are made for the Muslims to distract you in your prayer. Some of them have images of things that look like beasts and stuff. That, you know, stuff that is not even real, you know. But it's a distraction. So they make that like that. They even put crosses and things in the things that they sell to the Muslims for worship. Intentionally. Allah is a witness that some non-Muslim construction people, engineers, built into the tile above one of the main doors of the Masjid of the Prophet ﷺ when they were renovating it. When I was living in Medina, crosses. Alhamdulillah, some of us, we recognized it and we brought it to some people in authority and they had it redone. These people, there's no end to what they will do. There's no end, brother. They are day and night trying to corrupt and distract and distort and mislead the Muslims. This is what they do. The shayateen from the ins and the jinn. Okay, so looking at that which would distract you from the salah. لِحَدِيثِ عَيْشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ صَلَّ بِنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي خَمِيصَةٍ لَهَا أَعْلَامٌ فَقَالَ شَغَلَتْنِي أَعْلَامُ هَذِهِ اذهبوا بها إلى أبي جهم ابن حذيفة وأتوني بأن أنبجانيته رواه البخاري ومسلم وأبو داود. That it is disliked to look at those things which would distract you during the salat is based upon the hadith of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. She said, the Messenger of Allah led us in prayer. Salla bina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He led us in prayer. Wearing a khamisa type of shirt. Laha a'lamun. Yani a'lam. A'lam means like lines or markings. Yani khat or khutut. Markings on it. Lines. That shirt had these lines or markings in it. Faqala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, shagalatni. أَعْلَامُ هَذِهِ يعني the lines or the markings in this shirt, it has شَغَلَتْنِي يعني it occupied me, it distracted me. It distracted me. So go to يعني اذهبوا بها, go with it to Abi Jahm ibn Hudhayfa. Go to Abi Jahm and يعني get rid of it and bring back to me in exchange for it يعني أَنْبَجَانِيَتِهِ. Yani, ambajaniya is a type of clothing, thick, heavy garment that doesn't have any markings on it, that doesn't have any lines in it. I'm just trying to see, there's nothing here different than in the wajiz, same. Same point they mention, But they mention in Wajiz as point number 5. On page 103 in Wajiz, the same point is mentioned, same hadith is mentioned as point number 5. Okay, next point from our book, point number 4. It says, another ilama yulhi. Yulhi. Yani from alha yulhi. Another ilama yulhi. Yani yulhi an is salat. Yani looking at that which will distract you. Now, point number 4 from the makruhat of salat. At-takhassuru. At-takhassuru. Wa huwa. What is takhassuru? Yani in some books they mention it as al-ikhtisar. I think in al-wajiz they mention it as ikhtisar. In wajiz is point number 2. Al-ikhtisaru. Al-ikhtisaru. And what is takhassur or ikhtisar? Wa huwa wad'u al-yadi ala al-khasirati. Wad'u al-yadi ala al-khasirati. Meaning? On the sides, putting your hands on your sides, placing your hands on your sides while you're in prayer. And where should your hands be in prayer? On your chest, on your knees, on the floor, any different place, depending on what position you're in, right? But the point is, they shouldn't be on your side. Not while you're standing, not while you're bowing, not while you're sitting, not while you're prostrating. Your hands should not be on your sides. Hanging your hands on your side, that's different. We're saying putting your hands, placing your hands on your sides, holding your sides. Not laying, hanging them beside you. We're talking about, no, naam. Al-ikhtisar means that a person takes their hands and put them on the side. Gripping your sides. Gripping your sides. Okay? It's clear? Gripping your sides. And your hands are holding your sides. Not hanging on your side. No, not that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about putting the hands on the side. Huh? No, I'm saying, let's be clear. We're not saying hang your hands on the side. We're talking about with your hands just hanging down. We're talking about putting your hands on your hips. Okay, not your side. Let's say hips. Putting your hands on your hips and holding your hands on your hips. That's what we're saying. Okay, because otherwise, and this language that we're using right now may be a little bit confusing. Okay, the hips. Placing the hands on the hips. This is detestable. The proof of this, لِمَا رَوَى أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And I don't know why it's not mentioned here, the supplication. But some places, sometimes they forgot to put the supplication. لما روى أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى أن يصلي الرجل متخصرا متخصرا. That's how we get the word يعني تخصر. نعم متخصرا يعني تخصر أو الاختصار والصاد. Yani, it's narrated in that which is narrated from Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam naha prohibited that a man perform prayer mutakhassiran. Yani, in this condition that he has his two hands on his hips. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited this. Also in Wajiz, it's mentioned point number 2 al-ikhtisar, yani on page 103. Same point. Same hadith. Naam. Waleed.
It says a rajul. So, why is it for male? Like for
men? No, it's not just for men. It's not just for men. Okay, the hadith says naha and yusalli ar-rajulu.
It's a general term.
It's general. A rajul means a person. It means a person. Yeah, of course, we know that rajul is normally used the masculine, called rajul. An adult male is called a rajul. But in this kind of context, the meaning of it is general, human being. And it's not just a male adult. Rather, even a female, even a young person, is prohibited to pray with their hands on their hips.
Is there a hadith in general where you would know that it means a male? It would say
Yeah, sometimes there may be some proof that something is exclusive to males, you know, exclusive of females.
And it would say, like, you could say Raju is
stupid. It may say Raju, yeah. Any, but the rule here, right? What the rule here, the scholars of Sunnah are pretty much in agreement that the prayer of the man and the prayer of the woman is the same. What is obligatory, what is Sunnah, what is wajib, what is prohibited for men is the same as women, unless there's a proof specifically about a particular matter. So there's no proof that this is exclusive, I mean that this is particular to men. There's no proof of that, so that means it's general for the Muslims in general. Naam. Allahu a'lam. Naam. The man's prayer in the masjid, yani the man praying in jama'ah, all other things, yani, being equal, yani is obligatory. And the woman's prayer in the masjid is permissible, all other things being equal. Sometimes it may be prohibited though. Because a woman shouldn't go out of her house perfumed, decorated, adorning herself, and so on. Okay, this hadith is muttafaqun alayh, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The last point of the makruhat in our book is point number 5 on page 47. Iftirashu. Iftirashu dhira'ayhi fi sujudi. Okay? Meaning?
Spreading
the forearms on the ground in prostration. When a person is in prostration, the palms of the hands should be touching the ground. The rest of the arms from the wrist up should be propped up in the air, not on the ground nor near to the sides of the body. So iftirash, ذراعيه, his, yani, forearms, laying them flat on the ground in prostration is makruh. And even though it says ذراعيه, it's also applicable to ذراعيها, yani, in reference to what we just got finished talking about. It's not exclusive to men, that this is prohibited for men, it's prohibited for women too, it's prohibited for Muslims, young and old, male and female. Yes. Yeah, when you're in prostration, the palms should be on the ground, not, and the forearms should be lifted up, propped up. Okay? It's clear? Naam. In fact, we're going to go to Al-Wajiz on this point after we read the hadith. The hadith, the proof of this, is li hadithi Anasin radiallahu anhu. Yani Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, qala. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اعتدلوا في السجود ولا يبسط يعني this is la الناهية so the فعل المضارع is مجزوم فلا يبسط أحدكم ذراعيه انبساط الكلب متفق عليه يعني the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, i'tadilu, yani be moderate, i'tidal, be moderate, in the sujood, wala yabsut ahadukum dhira'ihi, and don't spread out, spread down flat, your forearms, in bisat al-kalb, like the spreading of the arms of the dog. Muttafaqun alayh. This particular point is mentioned in Wajiz as point number 12. Point number 12. Yani on page 106. Point number 12. They mention it as bastu as opposed to yani here we had what? Iftirash. Bastu. Yani bastu means the same thing, spreading. Bastul yadain. Here the meaning of yadain is ذِرَاع الذِرَاع يعني the forearms ذِرَاعَين بَسْتُ الْيَدَيْن فِي السُّجُودِ يعني laying down flat, spreading out flat on the ground the hands or the forearms when you're in prostration. And they mention the hadith of Anas from the Prophet ﷺ with the same wording وَلَا يَبْسُطْ أَحَدُكُمْ ذِرَاعَيْهِ انبساط الكلب. Hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, Muslim and others. Some of the scholars in the explanation of this hadith They said the meaning of اعتدلوا في السجود اعتدلوا بوضع الكفين على الأرض ورفع المرفقين عنها وعن الجنبين ورفع البطن عن الفخذ. يعني اعتدلوا في السجود means how do you اعتدلوا بوضع الكفين على الأرض, by putting the palms of your hands on the ground. ورفع المرفقين عنها, and the elbows raising them up from the ground. وعن الجنبين, and away from the two sides, and away from the two sides. ورفع البطن عن الفخذ, and removing, raising up the stomach away from the thighs. So اعتدلوا here means what? That a person, and اعتدلوا be moderate in it, don't lay flat on the ground, nor bowl yourself up with the arms, the forearms and the sides and the knees and the stomach, everything is touching. Rather, everything should be separate. Yani the hands separate, palms on the ground, arms up, elbows up, away from the sides, yani away from the ground, and the body, yani, stretched out somewhat, but not completely stretched out, yani, moderately. اعتدلوا. And also it came in a narration that Sahih in Abu Dawood, instead of اعتدلوا, he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَا يَفْتَرِشْ أَحَدُكُمْ ذِرَاءَيْهِ افْتِرَاشَ الْكَلْبِ, and no one of you should lay down the forearms the way the dog lays down his forearms. Now, okay, so these are the 5 points that are mentioned in our textbook. And then in Al-Wajiz, there are some other points. We'll look at those points now. The first point that they mentioned at Al-Wajiz on page 103, there are 14 points. Five of them are the points that we just mentioned. And then that means there are how many remaining? Mathematics? Arithmetic? Nine. Okay, so we're going to look at those 9 points according to what Allah allows us in terms of the time. In Wajiz on page 103, Kitab al-Salat, under the title, مَا يُكْرَهُ فعله في الصلاة ما يكره مبني للمجهول فعله في الصلاة. What is detestable that the action be done in the prayer? Number one, العبث بالثوب أو بالبدن لغير الحاجة. يعني that a person fools around, plays around with their garment or their body, any part of the body, لغير حاجة, for any, without any reason. Yani that a person is just playing around, fidgeting, moving around in the prayer. Yani, person should be what? Concentrating. What is the most important, from the most important characteristics of the person in prayer is al-khushu'. Al-khushu' means that the person has presence of heart and mind. Consciousness that they're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani displaying yani adab in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reflecting upon everything that they're saying and doing, such that to such an extent that their movements and their looking here and there and all of these kind of things cease or at least become minimal. Person is conscious that they're standing in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are reflecting, contemplating on their bowing, on their prostration, their standing, their sitting, their recitation of Quran, their dhikr, their dua. Any, this will put a person in a state, mentally, spiritually, and physically, that all of these extra things will be eliminated or at least minimized. Al-abath, yani playing around with the garment, fidgeting, moving things, fixing, yani especially some places you see people doing a lot of stuff. Doesn't mean the prayer became invalid if a person scratched or itched or something, but it means that it should be minimal. We're going to come to that, inshallah, in detail. Al-Abath. Yani, the proof for this is an mu'ayqibun. Mu'ayqibun. An mu'ayqibun. Naam. Radiallahu anhu. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, fi ar-rajuli يسوي التراب حيث يسجد. قال إن كنت فاعلا فواحدة. Yani hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Yani he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning a man, a rajul, as well as a boy, as well as a imra'a, any person who's praying. He said concerning the praying person, يُسَوِّي التُّرَاب حَيْثُ يَسْجُدُ. Meaning? Straightening, smoothing out the surface soil in the place where he's going to prostrate. And he making it good. Yani removing pebbles, rocks and stuff, making sure that where you're getting ready to prostrate is good. يُسَوِّي التُّرَاب. Yani in the place, حَيْثُ يَسْجُدُ. In the place where he is prostrating. Qala, the Prophet ﷺ said, concerning such a person who does that, in kunta fa'ilan, yani la buddha, if it's like you're going to do it, you have to, no escape from it, you have to do it, fa wahidatan, then just one time. Do it one time, and that's the end of that. Not like, mashallah, like you're making up your bed to be inspected by the inspectors. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Prophet ﷺ is reminding us here that if you have to do it, no problem. But one time, make it minimal, and then you know, be at the business of the prayer. The second point in Al-Wajiz is ikhtisar, putting the hands on the hips. We discovered that, we discussed it already. The third point is raf al-basar ila samaa, raising the sight to the sky. We discussed it already. The fourth point, iltifat li ghayri haja, looking around without any need. We discussed it already. The fifth point is an-nadharu ila ma yulhi, yani looking at that which will distract you. In the prayer, we discussed it already also. The sixth point we didn't discuss. The sixth point is al-sadlu wa taghtiyatu al-fam. Al-sadlu, al-sadlu wa taghtiyatu al-fam. Al-sadl, and it has a number of different meanings. We're going to discuss it. And taghtiyat al-fam is clear, means covering the mouth while you're in prayer. Yani meaning wrapping something around your mouth during while you're in the prayer. Covering your mouth. Any except for, of course, if there's somebody sick or something, any something like that's different. But in the prayer, you shouldn't wrap yourself with some kind of garment or whatever that covers the mouth. A sadl, we're going to look at the meaning of it. And it has various meanings according to different scholars. The hadith that's supporting this, yani that is disliked to do a sadl and to cover the mouth, is from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an as-sadli fi as-salati wa an yughattiya ar-rajulu fahu. Yani the Prophet prohibited a sadl during the salat, or that a rajul, that the man, yani the praying person, covers, يُغَطِّي فَاهُ, covers the mouth. They said here, this hadith is Hasan, it's mentioned in Sahih of Ibn Majah, and it's also mentioned Abu Dawud and the Tirmidhi, and then there's some other details that are not important, because any, it's not really clear what they mean by it, but it seems as though they're saying the first part of this hadith, the first sentence, is any in Ibn Majah and Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, only the first sentence, which is not true, because in fact in Ibn Majah both sentences are there, so I don't know what they're intending by this. And then they said Ibn Majah also narrated the Jumla al-Thaniya faqat, only, while Ibn Majah narrated the first sentence and the second sentence. So in any case, like, forget about that, don't worry about that. The important thing, the hadith is Hassan. Naam, Abdulaziz. If a woman is wearing niqab, if she's in a public place where men can see her, she can wear it. That's different, because it's a special ruling for women, right? If she's not in a public place, then she shouldn't wear niqab in salat. She should not be wearing niqab in salat. If she's in a public place where she could be seen by men, then she may cover her face, even in hajj. And women are not allowed to wear niqab in hajj at all, not even if they're in public. But rather, yani, the women in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is narrated by Asma, the sister of Aisha radiallahu anha, that we were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the state of ihram, and when men would pass by us, we would draw down our overgarments over our faces. draw the overgarment, let it hang down over the face. But not niqab that's made to fit the face. In any case, that's a different issue. We're going to go on. This hadith, is it about Hajj or?
No, it's about the same question.
What question?
It's like you said, Al-Nisa, the Salat fi Masjid, Bain Al-Nisa.
No, Bain Al-Nisa, she shouldn't be, she didn't have to cover her face in front of women. No. Okay, so this hadith is reported in a number of books. In the Sunan of Abu Dawud, Shaykh al-Albani said that it's Hassan, and also in Mishkat, in the Mishkat al-Masabi, it's mentioned that it's reported by Abu Dawud and al-Tirmidhi, and Shaykh al-Albani said there that it's Hassan also. In reference to the takhrij of the hadith, as far as the meaning of a sadal, what is a sadal that the Prophet prohibited in Salat? قال الشمس الحق في عون المعبود قال الخطابي السدل إرسال الثوب حتى يصيب الأرض. يعني شمس الحق in عون المعبود. عون المعبود is a hadith book explanation of Sunan Abu Dawud. عون المعبود is one of the most famous explanation of the Sunan of Abu Dawud. In that book, the author says that Al-Khattabi, a very famous scholar of hadith before his time, he said, Khattabi said, As-sadlu, what is As-sadlu? It is irsal al-thawb, letting the garment hang. Hatta yusiba al-ard, until it touches the ground. Letting the garment hang so long that it's touching the ground. So that means what? The garment should be cut. So that at least it shouldn't go below the ankle. For men. Women are allowed to extend it so it can cover their feet. So this is the clearest meaning of a sadal. It means a person allowing the garment to touch the ground. Rather, the garment should be cut. Yani halfway up the... what do you call this part of the leg? Shank. When I used to say shank, people used to correct me and say, no, this is shin. Shin. Oh, okay, no problem. But anyway, I mean here, yani between the knee and the ankle, this part here, we have a medical student here. What they said in medicine?
We call it
shin.
Shin?
Okay, shin, no problem. I'm going to...
I've heard him, but I'm not sure, but like the people, they say... Like this is the tibia bone and the fibula, and then but they would say this part is the shin.
Shin, good. So that's why they corrected me. Jazakallahu khair. May Allah reward them. Shin. I have to remember this word, shin. Tayyib. So the shin, right? Yani, the Prophet ﷺ said, the izar al-mu'min ila nisf al-saq. Yani, it should be halfway down this part of the leg. Izar al-mu'min. The garment, the lower garment of the believing man should be halfway down this leg. إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ وَمَا تَحْتَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ فَفِي النَّارِ. And whatever is lower than the ankle is in the hellfire. In any case, this is the first explanation of a sadal. It means to let the garment hang down till it touches the ground. وَقَالَ فِي النَّيْلِ. Now he's given us a different interpretation. In a nail. What is a nail?
Nail
al-Awtar by Imam al-Shawkani. Jazakallah khair. You have a question about the previous statement? Yeah.
So the sadal doesn't apply to the women, right?
Oh, sadal doesn't apply to the women. The women, they can allow their garment at least to cover their feet. So it will touch the ground. They're excluded from this. Now, because when the Prophet ﷺ talked about the garment coming down to here, then one of his wives came to him and said, "Yani, but our feet will be showing." Then he said, "Extend it, ذِرَاعَ." You can extend it, a ذِرَاعَ. Yani, enough to cover the feet. Now.
I have another
question. But it's not really related?
It's related to what you said about the sadal, when you were explaining that it should be, when you explained that it's not moving the garment.
Uh-huh.
Companions were watching him to see where his garment were, and this was that he didn't cross the shin. So I don't know if that's part of the hadith or.
I've never heard that part of the hadith. Maybe it could be in another narration, Or it's probably an explanation of the hadith.
I heard somebody was explaining that after the Prophet said this to the companion, they started washing this to see where his garment reached, and this or that it was halfway down
the... Well, if the Prophet, Ibrahim is saying that some people, he heard the hadith from some people, they said, when the Prophet ﷺ said this, that the garment of the believer is halfway down his shin, then the companions, radiallahu anhum, they started watching the Prophet to see where his garment was at. And they saw it didn't go beyond halfway down his shin. I don't know that came in a narration. I didn't hear it. But in any case, it could came in another narration, or it's probably an explanation of that hadith, in the shot of the hadith. Maybe they explained that this happened. That they, naturally, the companions of the Prophet, when he told them that, they would have looked to him to see what he was doing. That's automatic, that they're going to look to him and see what he's doing. And they're going to do what he's doing. As far as us today, we're not going to look and we're not going to care. We're going to keep doing what we've been doing. Not us sitting here. I'm saying the Muslims. But they cared. When the Prophet ﷺ told them something, they were keen, eager, diligent to comply with it. And what's the best way to comply with it? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. They will look and see what example was he displaying. He's doing it like that, we're going to do it just like him. When they were praying and they saw the Prophet ﷺ taking off his footwear, they saw him doing that in the prayer. They took theirs off too. They don't know why he did it, but whatever he do, we're doing the same thing. Subhanallah. Wallahi, that's why, radiallahu anhum wa radu an, why Allah is pleased with them. And Allah may not be pleased with us. Naam. And this is really serious. That we have to think. If we really want to earn the pleasure of Allah, it's not just by wishing and hoping. I wish that Allah will be pleased with me. No, it's by yani doing action, following the sunnah. This is the only way. And we will not earn the pleasure of Allah except by following the sunnah. Naam. I mean, if somebody says, well, it's just the sunnah. Well, the first thing, and I'm not going to get sidetracked with this, okay? The first thing, in Arabic, if they know Arabic, then they might have an idea that the word sunnah has different meanings. In the technical terminology of Sharia, sunnah has several meanings. One of the meanings of sunnah is what they are thinking about. Sunnah means the opposite of wajib or fard. The other, another meaning of sunnah is the sunnah means the way, the tariqah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will say it's just the way the Prophet did things. That's just the way the Prophet did it. There's no Islam without that sunnah. Another meaning of sunnah is the opposite of bid'ah. It's just sunnah. It's just the opposite of bid'ah. Just sunnah. And another meaning of sunnah is the aqidah. Most of the scholars of sunnah, they wrote books. The sunnah, yani, Usul Sunnah Imam Ahmed is not a book of yani practices, of it's the book of aqidah. So the sunnah has many meanings. So when a person says that, it reflects some kind of ignorance, that they don't really understand what the word sunnah means or its significance. And we will only say to them, yani, if the practices of the Prophet, his way, if it is not important to you, then we only say to you what he said to people who were better than you. مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. He said that to people who are better than you. That whoever is not pleased with my sunnah, he's not from me. Wallahu musta'an. The sunnah. There is no Islam without the sunnah. There is no Islam without the sunnah. قَالَ فِي النَّيْلِ الْأَوْطَارِ نَيْلُ الْأَوْطَارِ Imam al-Shawkani, رحمه الله, he said, قَالَ أَبُو عُبَيْدَ في what غريبه Abu Ubaidah said في غريبه يعني his book of غريب يعني meaning strange words in the Arabic language, the explanation of them. He said Abu Ubaidah, specialist in the, he's one of the great scholars of Arabic language, he said in his book يعني dealing with the strange words in Arabic language in the Sunnah, he said السدل إسبال الرجل ثوبه من غير أن يضم جانبيه بين يديه. Yani, Abu Ubaidah said, the as-sadl is isbal ar-raju thawbahu. Yani, that a man, isbal means to let it hang down, isbal. To let the garment hang down to the ground. Min ghayri an yadumma janibayhi bayni yadayhi. Without bringing together the two sides in front of him. Yani, if a person's garment is hanging on the ground and he folds it in front of him like this, what it will do? Raise it up off the ground. And some of the people in certain countries, they wear these kind of garments, like you have lived in Mauritania, right? Don't they wear big garments? Yani? Okay, no problem. In Africa, that's right. Even in Mali and other places, they wear a big garment that may touch the ground. But if they fold it together in front of them, it will raise it up off the ground. So Abu Ubaidah said, they wear the bish, which is also sometimes long, and they fold it over in front of them, which raises it up. But it shouldn't be hanging below the ankle. Shouldn't be hanging below. So Abu Ubaidah said that it is that a person lets his garment hang without folding it together in front of him, meaning raising it up from touching the ground. فَإِنْ ضَمَّهُ فَلَيْسَ بِسَدْلٍ. But if he does this, he brings it together, folds it together in front of him, then it's not sadl. Then it's not sadl. Well, and that's second opinion. Third opinion, what is a sadl? قَالَ صَاحِبَ النِّهَايَةِ يعني نِهَايَةِ بِغْرِيبَ الْحَدِيثِ يعني the, also explaining the strange words in some of the hadith. He said, هُوَ أَنْ يَخْتَحِفَ أَنْ يَلْتَحِفَ بِثَوْبِهِ وَيُدْخِلَ يَدَيْهِ مِنْ دَاخِلٍ فَيَرْكَعُ وَيَسْجُدُ وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ. Third interpretation of sadl, أَنْ يَلْتَحِفَ بِثَوْبِهِ, يعني to wrap himself up in his garment. وَيُدْخِلَ يَدَيْهِ, and to enter his hands inside of the garment that he's wrapped up in. وَيَرْكَعُ وَيَسْجُدُ وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ, and then he bows and he prostrates while this garment is wrapped around him, his hands are inside of it. He's prostrating, bowing and prostrating in this condition. This is what Yani in Nihaya, Ghurib al-Hadith, he says, the author says that this is a sadl. So, Yani, these are three Yani slightly different interpretations of the meaning of sadl. All of them are detestable. قَالَ هَذَا مُضْطَرِضٌ وَهَذَا مُضْطَرِضٌ فِي الْقَمِيسِ وَغَيْرِهِ مِنَ الثِّيَابِ. مُضْطَرِضٌ Yani means this is applicable to the qamis, shirt, garment that you wear, or other than it from garments, whatever kind of garment it might be. This is applicable to it. Yani the meaning of letting it hang like this, yani is detestable in any kind of garment that you are wearing. قَالَ وَقِيلَ هُوَ أَنْ يَضَعَ وَسَطْ الْإِزَارِ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ وَيُرْسِلَ طَرَفَيْهِ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ وَشِمَالِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَجَعَلَهُمَا عَلَى كَتِفَيْهِ. Fourth meaning. وَقِيلَ, yani, then he said, it has also been said, it is to أَنْ يَبْعَ وَسَطْ الْإِزَارِ, yani to take the middle of the izar and place it on his head. On the head, not on the shoulders, on the head. وَيُرْسِلْ طَرَفَيْهِ, and to let down the two sides of the garment. عَنْ يَمِينِهِ وَشِمَالِهِ, on the right side and on the left side. مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَجْعَلَهُمَا عَلَى كَتِفَيْهِ, without putting them on the shoulders. And instead of putting the garment over the shoulders, to put it on the head and let it hang down on this side and hang down on that side. Without, yani, instead of placing it on the shoulders. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. وَقَالَ الْجَوْهَرِي سَدَّلَ ثَوْبَهُ. Another definition, linguistic definition of سَدَّل. سَدَّلَ ثَوْبَهُ يعني meaning يُسَدِّلُهُ بِضَمْ سَدْلًا أي أَرْخَاهُ. يعني سَدَّلَ ثَوْبَهُ, the meaning of he سَدَّلَ ثَوْبَهُ يعني يُسَدِّلُهُ, it means he يُسَدِّلُهُ بِضَمْ يعني وَالضَّمَّ يُسَدِّلُهُ سَدْلًا. يعني this is the past tense, present tense, masdar. He's giving linguistic definition of it. That's how words are giving in the dictionary. The past tense, present tense, masdar. He said the meaning of it is what? A? Arkhahu. Arkhahu means to let it down. To let it hang down. So that's yani similar. Same meaning. Letting it hang down. وَلَا مَانِيَ مِنْ حَمْلِ الْحَدِيثِ عَلَى جَمِيعِ هَذِهِ الْمَعَانِي. And there's nothing to prevent us, to stop us from understanding this hadith, yani, in accordance with jami' al-ma'ani, all of these meanings. إن كان السدل مشتركا بينها. يعني if that word shares these different meanings, then there's no harm to apply all of them to it. If يعني sometimes a word has more than one meaning, right? So if it has shared meanings, then there's no harm in applying all of those meanings. وَحَمْلُ الْمُشْتَرَكْ عَلَى جَمِيعِ مَعَانِيهِ هُوَ الْمَذْهَبَ الْقَوِيِّ. يعني understanding a word that has more than one meaning, shared meanings, understanding it with all of those meanings, this is the strong madhab. يعني this is the best way to take it. Not to take one meaning and leave the other. When it has all of those meanings, unless there's a proof that specifies one of those meanings, then taking all of those meanings that are applicable to it is the best way to understand it. Now, this is what all of that last discussion came from Sahib and Nihaya. Sahib and Nihaya. He mentioned these various different sayings. Okay, so this is a saddle. So what is a saddle? And he basically said that means that a person allows their garment to hang down. And there's some variations in the interpretation of that. But basically it means letting the garment hang down. It shouldn't be hanging down. Any person should raise their garment up. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, that the izar of the mu'min is halfway down the shin. And it's permissible that it hangs lower than that, up to the ankle. It is permissible. And this is agreed by the scholars of sunnah. In fact, this issue of Isbal, there's a wonderful fatwa, detailed, convincing, conclusive, decisive, from Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz. If somebody reminds you, I'll send it to the class. He brought a lot of points and argued against those who have shubahat and try to make some excuses. He refuted it all, clearly. And from the things that he mentions there is that, yani the sunnah is that it should hang halfway down the shin. And what is permissible is that it goes as far as the ankle, and whatever is below the ankle is haram. Point number 7, at-tathaub. This is not mentioned in our book. Point number 7, at-tathaub. On the bottom of page 104, an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, at-tathaub fi salati min ash-shaytani. Fa'idha tathaaba ahadukum فَلْيَقْذِمْ مَسْتَطَاعَ. يعني أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, التثاب في الصلاة من الشيطان. Yawning while a person is praying is from شيطان. فَإِذَا تَثَابَ أَحَدُكُمْ. So if one of you yawns, if you have to, you can't escape from it, فَلْيَقْذِمْ مَسْتَطَاعَ. Close it as much as you can, according to your ability. Don't just without any restraint. Restrain yourself as much as you are able to. This hadith is sahih. Shaykh al-Albani mentions sahih al-Jami'. It's also in Tirmidhi and sahih of Ibn Khuzaymah. And Shaykh al-Albani also mentioned Mishkat al-Masabi. He said that it's sahih, hadith number 9. 93. My memory doesn't help me.
So a question was in regards to yawning. But in the prayer, so outside the prayer, you should fight it. Outside the prayer, you should fight it. And if you can, they say cover your mouth.
Should cover your mouth, yes. Try to cover your mouth to restrain it.
And you should, is there a specific hand which you should use? Because I've heard many things to the point where I didn't know what.
I don't know. Allahu a'lam. Okay. No, I don't know.
In the prayer, because over here, it didn't. So just try to fight it. And if you can't, is it permissible to use the hand so you could cover the yawn?
You should try to cover it, yes. Even in prayer. No.
Even with your hand.
No. Yani, because the hadith here is specifically about prayer, right? And the Prophet ﷺ is saying, فَلْيَقْذِمْ, yani restrain yourself as much as you're able to. And from the ways to restrain yourself is to cover your mouth and to try to hold it closed. to the best of your ability. Page 105, point number 8 from Al-Wajiz. Al-Busaqu jihati al-qiblati aw an yaminihi. Al-Busaqu meaning spitting from basaqa yabsuqu, spitting. Spitting jihat al-qibla in the direction of the qibla or on his right. Spitting in the direction of the qibla or on the right is makruh, based on the narration of Jabir radiallahu anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna ahadukum idha qama yusalli fa inna Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala qibala wajhihi fala yabsuqanna qibala wajhihi wala an yaminihi wal yabsuq an yasarihi tahta rijlihi al yusra fa in عجلت به بادرة فليقل بثوبه هكذا ثم توى ثوبه بعده على بعض. On another narration, وضعه على فيه ثم دلكه. This narration of Jabir is mentioned here that is Sahih in Sahih Muslim and Sunan of Abu Dawood. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if any one of you, inna ahadukum, indeed one of you, idha qama yusalli, when you stand up to perform prayer, for indeed Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala qibla wajhihi. Now Allah is in front of him, in the direction of his face. Allah is in front of him, yani in a way that is befitting of his majesty and his glory. Not the way, yani physical, material, created things. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above his throne. Na'am, Allah is above his throne, above the seven heavens. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala qibla wajhihi. Allah is in front of him. فَلَا يَبْسُقَنَّ قِبْلَ وَجْهِ. So he must not spit in front of him. وَلَا عَنْ يَمِينِهِ. Nor on the right of him. وَلْيَبْسُقْ عَنْ يَسَارِهِ. But he should spit on his left side. تحت رجله اليسرى, underneath his left foot. فإن عجلت به بادرة, and if a person is forced, يعني is in a hurry to let something that came up unexpectedly, يعني under compulsion, not having control over it, إن عجلت به بادرة, يعني hastily it came forward, surprisingly, unexpectedly, فليقول بثوبه هكذا. If it came up like that, then فَلْيَقُلْ بِثَوْبِ, يَقُلْ يعني يَفْعَلْ, the meaning of يَقُلْ here, يَفْعَلْ بِثَوْبِهِ هَكَذَا, then he must do it, his thobe like this. ثُمَّ, he said that, and then he, the Prophet ﷺ, طَوَى ثَوْبَهُ بَعْدَهُ عَلَى بَعْدٍ. So then he wrapped or folded his garment, a part of it on another part of it. What's more clear is in the narration of Abu Dawud, he said, وَوَضَعَهُ عَلَى فِيهِ, he placed his garment on his mouth. ثُمَّ دَلَكَهُ, and then he rubbed it. Yani meaning the spit or whatever came up, he rubbed it with his garment from his mouth. Yani so the two narrations, yani either he folded the garment and spit in it, or he took the garment, folded it, and rubbed it, the spit or whatever came from his mouth, with his garment. This hadith, yani we mentioned, is already yani sahih. We mentioned already that it's in Sahih Muslim. The second wording that I mentioned about him placing the garment on his mouth is from Sunan of Abu Dawud, and it is an authentic narration. Point number 9. Okay, so the point here is what? That if a person has to spit while they're praying, they should not spit in front of them or to the right. Rather, they should spit to the left, underneath their left foot. And that is generally, yani if they're praying outside, praying in the forest, in the desert, in a place in the open field, on concrete or pavement or whatever. If you're praying in the masjid on a furnished carpet, use your garment, please. Use your garment, Naam Waleed.
Underneath the left foot, as in, like by the heel?
Allahu A'lam. I mean, I don't know that it specifically is a part of the foot.
No, I'm saying, because what does it mean by underneath, like,
Meaning that you should spit on the floor on the left side and put your left foot over it.
Okay.
Don't leave it exposed.
Right. No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, but underneath, so literally underneath.
Underneath, literally underneath. Naam.
Okay.
Naam. طيب, point number 9. التشبيك الأصابع. يعني فم شبك يشبك تشبيك الأصابع. يعني التشبيك means interlocking the fingers. There's a lot of discussion about this particular issue, but in any case today, we're going to just try to go into it, go past it, whatever is mentioned here. What did I do with my watch? How much time we have before? Oh, we have a lot of time. Okay, so we can finish easily. Okay, تشبيك الأصابع, يعني interlocking the fingers. Point number 9, page 105. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا توضع أحدكم في بيته ثم أتى المسجد كان في صلاة حتى يرجع. الله أكبر. نعم. فلا يقول هكذا, لا يقول لا يفعل هكذا, وشبك بين أصابعه, and he interlocked his fingers together. يعني أبو هريرة said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if any one of you performs ablution in his home, and there's a suggestion in here, right, إشارة, that it's better for a person to purify themselves at home before they went to the masjid. نعم. إذا توضع أحدكم في بيته, if any one of you performs ablution in his home, ثم أتى المسجد, and then he came to the masjid, كان في صلاة حتى يرجع, that person will be considered as though he's in salah until he returns to his home. But what? He made ablution in his home. Ah, this is a very important part of it. And then he went to the masjid, he will be considered in salah. He will be getting reward as though he's in salah until he returns home. What if the person said, I'll make wudu at the masjid? This applicable?
No.
No. Is it applicable to women who don't go to the masjid? Yani, Allah has favors that He gives to whoever He wills, right? The women, they got some other benefits and blessings and favors that the men didn't get, and men are jealous of them. A lot of men are saying, why do women don't got to go to the masjid? Why I got to go? And women are just cooling out at home because they have a lot of other responsibilities at home. But then if you do have to go, then you also get something for going. Naam. So everybody, Allah is just, He's giving everybody something. Naam. Naam. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. What if you made wudu at home and you got to the masjid and you got into the prayer and then you invalidated your wudu? ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. In any case, look, the end of it all is that if a person has a good intention and they make the effort, Allah is rich and He gives to whomever He wills, whatever He wills. So even if a person didn't reach the destination, they didn't complete the task, Allah may reward them fully if He wills. Just like the sick person and the traveler, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records for them what they used to do when they were healthy and resident, even though they didn't do it. Now they didn't do it, but when they were healthy, they used to do it. So when they became sick and they're unable, guess what? Allah keeps recording for them the rewards of what they used to do when they were healthy, even though they're not doing it anymore. That's Allah's fadl, He gives to whoever He wills. So if a person made intention to go to the masjid and pray in jama'ah, and they made wudu at home, and then before they got to the masjid, they broke wudu, then go and make wudu. Inshallah, Allah is generous. Don't worry. Don't fear. Allah is generous. He doesn't hold back. Naam.
Stuff in general. So, for example, a person would do a certain act of worship. Let's say they would always pray, like people have prayer.
Yeah.
And then now they have a job, and they get so busy that time that it's like impossible for them to pray the Duha anymore. The day they do work.
No.
Would this be like an?
It could, but that's not what the hadith says. But it could be. Yani, the important thing is that we need to be striving to do as much as we can while we are able to do it, because you don't know what your condition will be tomorrow or even tonight. You don't know, you'll be sick, you'll be traveling, You'll be occupied with a job that doesn't allow you to do what you're able to do now. Maybe you used to pray Salatul Duha every morning. And now you got a job, you can't pray there. You can't do it. So now, keep yourself busy while you are able, because you don't know, one day you won't be able. Badiru. Naam. Because if you don't hasten to do it now, maybe the opportunity will go away. You will lose it.
I just have one final question about the wudu in the house. So you come, you pray, and do you have to keep wudu until you get back to the house?
No, the hadith doesn't say that. It just says that you make wudu before you in your home, and then you went to the masjid, yani to pray in jama'ah. And after the prayer, yani, inshallah, whatever happens after that. Huh? One of the things that help you not to invalidate your wudu is don't eat so much and don't drink so much. The less you eat and the less you drink, the less you will invalidate your wudu. Maybe you will go from morning until evening. You don't have to make wudu if you didn't eat or drink. I'm saying it will be more likely that you can do it. Because there's nothing inside. Yani, if you, for example, are fasting, try it, okay? It really works. You eat some dates, or you drink some water and honey or something that's from the sunnah in the morning before you eat or drink anything, and you eat some dates, and then you went to the masjid for fajr, and maybe you stayed until sunrise and you came home. Maybe you might have to use the bathroom when you came home, or maybe later. And then, if you didn't eat anything the rest of the day, probably you will not invalidate your wudu for the rest of the day until Maghrib. Yeah, that's normal. Unless some people have different body systems. Naam. But for the average person, if you didn't eat and drink, you're not going to be going to that bathroom. Some people, you will never see them go in the bathroom. Ever. How? Because they didn't have anything to go to the bathroom with. There's nothing there. Taib. Okay, let's finish and then we close, inshallah. Point number 9, Tashbik al-Asabi'. Yani, interlocking the fingers from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if anyone of you performs ablution in his home, then he goes to the masjid, he will be considered to be in salat until he returns. Yani, he'll be getting reward until he returns. Fala yaqul hakadha. So don't do like this. Yani, when you made wudu in your house and you went to the masjid, don't, when you wait to the masjid, while you're waiting for the salat, or while you're in the salat, don't interlock your fingers. فَلَا يَقُلْ هَكَذَا. Don't do like this. And هَكَذَا, the Prophet demonstrated what he meant. He did like this. شَبَّكَ بَيْنَ أَصَابِعِهِ. He interlocked his fingers. So don't do like that. Meaning you will lose the reward from doing. So you should tap him lightly. Akhi, don't do that. Even not praying. Even not praying while you're waiting for salat. Don't do it. Don't do it. After the salat, no problem. Interlocking the fingers is not haram. But while you're waiting for the salat, you shouldn't do it. Allahu alam. Naam. We're coming, inshallah. Point number 11. Kaffu, with shadda on the fa, ash-sha'ri wa thawbi. Kaffu, ash-sha'r, wa thawb. What do we mean by kaff? Tying the hair or rolling up the garment. كف الشعر, the hair, والثوب in the garment. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أمرت أن أسجد على سبعة. And in the other narration of Bukhari, على سبع أعظم ولا أكف شعرا ولا ثوبا. يعني ابن عباس, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. He narrates from the Prophet ﷺ that he said, I have been commanded. In another narration, the Sahih said, we have been commanded. Umirna. And in any case, whatever is for the Prophet is for his ummah, unless there's something that shows that is from the khasa'is particular to the Prophet ﷺ. So when he said umirtu, it is just the same as if he had said umirna. But it is authentically narrated. He said umirna also. He said, I have been commanded, or we have been commanded, to to prostrate on seven, meaning seven bones. And those seven bones are the yadain, wa rukbatain, wa atraf al-qadamain. The first one is the yani al-jabha wa ashara ila anfihi. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said in another narration, those seven bones is the forehead, wa ashara ila anfihi, meaning he pointed to the nose, meaning the forehead and nose is one bone, wa yadain, meaning the palms of the hands, wa rukbatain, the knees, wa atraf al-qadamain, the tips of the feet, meaning the tips of the toes, yani which should be bent, pointing towards the qibla. These are the seven bones, as-sab'a in this hadith. وَلَا أَكُفُّ شَعْرًا, and do not tie up the hair. وَلَا ثَوْبًا, nor the garment, yani rolling up the pants legs, or rolling up the sleeves of the arms. Yani a person shouldn't pray with their sleeves rolled up, or their pants leg rolled up. Shouldn't be rolled up. As long as it's not rolled up. As long as it's not rolled up. Yeah, and if a person came from work and they had their sleeves rolled up, you know how they say, roll your sleeves up, right? We're getting ready to do some work. When you go to the masjid, roll them back down. Rolling it is different than covering it. It's not rolled up, it's covered. Yani for cold weather. with three pairs of socks. Now, rolling means rolling the garment, whether it's the pants leg or the sleeves, should not be rolled up. Okay, then after this, point number 11. Taqdeem rukbatayhi ala yadayhi fi sujood. Taqdeem rukbatayhi ala yadayhi fi sujood, meaning going forward first with the knees before the hands in going to the prostration position. Yani making the knees going ahead of the hands. Anyway, we know that this is an issue of ikhtilaf. Some scholars say the hands should go first, some say the knees should go first. No problem. Yani there's a big difference of opinion. In any case, they're saying, yani, that it's makruh, that the knees go before the hands. That means they're saying what's correct is to put the hands first and then the knees should follow. An Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا سَجَدَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلَا يَبْرُكْ كَمَا يَبْرُكُ الْبَعِيرُ وَلْيَضَعْ يَدَيْهِ قَبْلَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ. Yani if any one of you prostrates, yani standing, going to prostration, فَلَا يَبْرُكْ كَمَا يَبْرُكُ الْبَعِيرُ, don't kneel down the way the camel kneels down. وَلْيَضَعْ, rather he must put يَدَيْهِ, the two hands, قَبْلَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ, before the two knees. Well, يَضَعْ, yani lam here is
lam
al-amr. Well, يَضَعْ, then he must put the two hands before the two knees. This hadith, as I mentioned previously. Okay, point number 12, page 106, point number 12, bastu. We mentioned that one. Bastu al-yadain fi sujood, we mentioned that. That was point number 5 in our book. Yani putting the hands flat, the forearms flat down on the ground. Point number 13, as-salatu bi hadrati ta'ami. Aw wa huwa yudafi'u al-akhbathaini. Yani al-khabath, the two khabath, al-akhbathaini. Akhbathaini. Yani as-salatu bi hadrati ta'am. Yani performing salat wa qad hadara at-ta'am. The presence of food. The food has been presented. Food is there. This is makruh. Then a person goes to pray when the food has been presented. أو وهو يدافع الأخبثين. Or that he goes to prayer while he is struggling with. يدافع. Yani there's a struggle between him and the أخبثين. Yani relieving oneself, urinating or defecating. Person has to relieve themselves. Badly. They have to urinate. They have to defecate. And they are resisting. Trying to hold it. You shouldn't pray in this condition. This is makruh.
What if...
Yeah, if the food is presented, eat it. If you have to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. Then pray afterwards.
Right. What if there's a situation where you try to
out.
Naam.
You know,
you're delayed. You were delayed in the salat, and you still had to go to the bathroom, and you wanted to make the salat before it goes out. Yani, it's makruh to pray in this way. So, I mean, if a person prayed, the prayer is not invalid. Right?
No.
Yani, we didn't say it's haram, we said it's makruh. So it's detestable, it's disliked. Yani, it's disgusting for a person to be in that condition. How can you pray? You don't know what you're doing. If you're in that condition, if you're actually struggling to hold back from relieving yourself, what kind of prayer you have? So if a person prayed like that, the prayer is valid. But it's not good to pray like that. Yani, this is from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Naam.
What about the food happens to be presented by the time that you're supposed to leave for jama'ah in the masjid?
Naam.
But the food is ready. And what would one do then?
If the food is ready, it has been presented or it is ready?
Presented.
If it has been put forward in front of you, then you should eat.
Should we eat the whole thing?
Okay, eat as enough so that you relieve the desire for the food and the hunger, and now you can go and pray in peace. You don't have to eat the whole meal. But eat something, then you're okay, and then pray. Right? Even in Ramadan when we are fasting, right, we eat something. And then we pray. The best thing to eat is dates. Because dates are not only tasty, nutritional, but they also have the ability to enter into the body what it needs quickly. So that person will be alright if you eat a few dates. You don't have to eat a whole meal. When I first went to Sudan, it was Ramadan came, and some people invited us to break fast, and they in the square of the neighborhood, and they have an area, houses around it, and everybody came to break fast there. Subhanallah. I said, they're going to leave all this food out here when we go to pray? No, they're going to eat it all first before they go to pray. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I never seen anything like that in my life. They just start eating. I'm like, when are we going to pray? What's going on here? And they don't pray until they eat everything first. I said, I will not break fast with them again. That's it for me. I can't do that one. Subhanallah, even some masjids, they do that. Right now, you go to the masjid, they will not pray until they eat all the food. If you go to pray, khalas, when you come back, there's no food. No food. Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, sami'tu an-nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, la salata bihadrati ta'am. La salata bihadrati ta'am. Wa la, yani salata, I say yani because he didn't repeat it. Wa la, وَهُوَ يُدَافِعُ الْأَخْبَثَانِ وَهُوَ يُدَافِعُهُ الْأَخْبَثَانِ Okay, this, the wording of this hadith came different than the wording of the title of this topic, right? In the topic it said, وَهُوَ يُدَافِعُ الْأَخْبَثَانِ يعني, هُوَ يُدَافِعُ الْأَخْبَثَانِ is the مَفْعُولٌ بِي But in the hadith it came, وَهُوَ يُدَافِعُهُ الْأَخْبَثَانِ What's the difference? Al-akhbathan is the fa'il. Yudafi'uhu. Al-akhbathan yudafi'uhu. Naam. And that's because there's a yani interaction in the yani in this type of verb. Yani dafa' yudafi'u. That means like two people are. Yani like rasala yurasilu. They are corresponding from both sides. It's back and forth. Yani is trying to come out and he's trying to keep it in. So it's like yani struggle. Taib, la salata bi hadrati ta'am. There's no prayer with the presence of the food. Wala wa hu yudafi'uhu al-akhbathan, nor while the urine or the feces is struggling to against him to come out. Yani he's yani being called to answer the call of nature. Yani al-akhbathan al-bawl wal-gha'it. There's a narration of this hadith where it's mentioned, it's authentic, that Aisha radiallahu anhu was sitting with two people and they were narrating something to them and she said something to one of them that he was really upset about. He became very angry when the food was presented to Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, our mother. He got up to leave. And Aisha radiallahu anhu told him, sit. He said, I have to pray. She said, sit. He said, I'm going to pray. And then she said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ say, La salata. There is no prayer بحضرة الطعام when the food is present. يعني sit down.
What? Well,
that's why I mentioned the story. That's why I mentioned the story. Huh? Huh? Yeah, I mentioned. I don't want to mention the names, يعني, because it's not that important. But in any case, يعني, he was angry because she said something to him that was يعني, difficult to bear. And then, so that was his escape. يعني, it's time for Salat, I'm out of here, I'm not eating with you. And she told him, sit. He said, I'm praying. She said, sit. And then she narrated to him, the Prophet ﷺ said, there's no Salat when the food has been presented. Naam Abdulaziz. And this is the last point. Yani, the point here is that Yani, the point here is that if the food has been presented and a person is in need of food, it's going to be difficult for them to concentrate in the prayer unless they ate. So if a person is hungry, they should eat at least something to relieve them from that, and then they can go and pray. Naam. Last point of point number 14, page 106, Musabaqatu al-Imam. Musabaqatu al-Imam. Oh, how munasib it is that we close this topic with Musabaqatu. Musabaqatu al-Imam. Yani? Yeah, yani preceding, racing. Yani Musabaqa means a race, a contest. Like I'm trying to finish the salat before the imam. Huh? وَهَذَا مُسْتَحِيلٌ. It's not possible for you to finish the salat before the imam. Right? I mean, you can't make taslim until he makes taslim. So how is there a race? So, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول أَمَا يَخْشَى أَحَدُكُمْ إذا رفع رأسه قبل الإمام أن يجعل الله رأسه رأس الحمار أو يجعل الله صورته صورة حمار. يعني report about البخاري and Muslim. وهذا لفظ البخاري. This is the wording from Bukhari. Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, he said from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he was saying, أما يخشى أحدكم, doesn't one of you have fear? إِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ قَبْلَ الْإِمَامِ, that if he raises up his head before the imam rises up, and يَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ رَأْسَهُ رَأْسَ حِمَارِ, that Allah will make his head the head of a donkey, أَوْ يَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ سُورَتَهُ سُورَةُ الْحِمَارِ, Allah will make his image, his shape, his form, like the image of a donkey. Doesn't a person fear? يعني, doesn't a person who's following imam in prayer fear that if he goes ahead of the imam, doesn't he fear that Allah may punish him severely by making his head the head of a donkey, or making his body like the body, yani his, making the image of a donkey? And some of the scholars said that the meaning of this is literal. Like Bani Israel. Allah made them into the forms of apes and swine. And some of the scholars said it means, yani, make them into a despicable, humiliating form. In any case, what is apparent is that Allah may turn, that's easy for Allah to turn somebody's head into the head of a donkey, and a person should fear. This is a severe threat from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Do not precede the imam. إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامِ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِي. The imam has been placed in front to lead the people. He's been placed there to be followed, not to be preceded. Naam.
Can this be a proof for
Yeah, you see it all the time.
Someone that's praying in Jam, Maghrib, initially Maghrib, they pray in Isha. Pray in Maghrib with the Imam, while the Imam is praying in Isha. And he sits on the third rakah, and he makes a taslim for the Imam so that he can catch up with the Isha.
I don't know that you can do that. I don't know any scholar who says you can leave the salat before the imam. I don't know any scholar who says that. But some scholars may say, if you join the imam in Isha and you didn't pray Maghrib, then you can sit in the third rakah and wait for the imam to make taslim. And then you can make taslim. But as far as you make taslim before the imam, then you're not following the imam. Anyway, we're going to stop here. Naam?
With regard to the that's what he's saying.
In case somebody wants to leave, they might have to pray somewhere else. Now,
I heard there's two opinions as well. That so, like, let's say what he just said, the example for Maghrib, you didn't pray Maghrib and it's an Isha, and you the Imam got up for the fourth. You can make, after you finish, you can make taslim, or there's another opinion that you would wait.
That's what he's saying.
Until that one.
I think I have the proof. Okay, please bring it to us so that we can see it. But in any case, the general rule that's crystal clear is that the imam has been made to be followed. You cannot precede the imam in any act of the salat. So, yani, if there's another view, we'd just like to see it so that we can know about what's the evidence and how they are, yani, the argument. And this is learning. This is part of learning fiqh. Yani how different scholars understand different issues. And sometimes they have a different ruling. And they also have evidence for it. So it's beneficial. Now.
So as for the first opinion, I was much, much younger when I heard about this. So if they're going to wait for the imam, is it they would wait until he goes to the tashahud?
Walaykum salam.
So that's when you would make the tashahud? Or would you make the tashahud then, and then wait until he makes the taslim for you to make the taslim with him?
You should wait to make taslim with him.
And for the tashahud itself, you should wait.
No,
until
the tashahud, the imam is going to recite tashahud also.
Nah, so you should wait for that as well.
No, I'm saying he's going to recite tashahud when you are sitting there.
Nah.
And if you're praying Isha, the imam is praying Isha and you're praying Maghrib.
Yeah, so on the third rak'ah, he's going back up. I'm going to be in Julus.
No. Nah. But you already recited tashahud.
Nah, so that tashahud, I'm
the next one, wait until the imam came back to sitting.
Nah, and then for that tashahud, when he's in tashahud now, I'm still...
When he's in the last rak'ah, you should make your last rak'ah with him when he's doing his last rak'ah. Allahu alam. In any case, this is an issue. I don't know that there's any hadith that it actually happened in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is ijtihad. So the scholars may have different views, and it's good to look at their different views and what's the evidence. But if in the absence of it actually having occurred in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ, where he explained or demonstrated or proved of somebody doing something, then it's all ijtihad. It's all ijtihad. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.